Welcome to Inside Ag. I'm Greg Deering. Today we're at Scott Schwederman's out near Syracuse, Kansas. Scott, thanks for joining us today, and thanks for agreeing to be kind of our test subject for this one.
Yeah, you bet. We're looking forward to having you out here, and the weather's nice, the wind's not blowing, so count that as a win.
Well, it is blowing a little bit out of the north, but there's no dust in the air out here, which is always a good thing when you're out in western Kansas. Starting off today, Scott, what do you grow? How do you grow it? And how did you get started in this?
On our farm, we're predominantly alfalfa with some row crop influence for forage crops. We're in an area where forage is needed, so we produce that for our customers, feed yards, dairies, et cetera, ranches. We kind of supply them all. I got into farming probably 7 or 8 years ago. Was really interested growing up, worked on the family farm, had an opportunity. I went to college and wanted to come back and kind of needed to go a different route and was able to do a few things. Got into the custom business, had a lot of help from a lot of good people. And today we operate ourselves and my wife and I's farm. We employ several people and keep a lot of Hamilton County in business is what we do. So,
what has that process been like, kind of getting out on your own there, starting your own operation? I know that's exciting, but also scary at times. Just kind of walk us through what that's been like.
Pretty choppy. You know, there's always ups and downs in this business, regardless if you've, a fourth or fifth generation operator or a new guy, kind of like we are. You know, you got your seasonal flows, cash flows are difficult. We grow many crops. We custom operation. We also have a hay grinding operation that keeps kind of everything rolling. Spread manure, not afraid to put wheels on any stuff to go operate other places too. So, but yeah, there's been lots of highs, lots of lows. Thankfully, we've had good financial backing to run through it. We bank local, we believe in local, then we want to keep our local economy moving.
You mentioned putting wheels under things. I know we're close to the Colorado border. We're actually on mountain time here. How far do you go with your operation?
Ooh, that's a big question. You know, we pull hay from probably 250, 300 miles out. We also send hay 250, 300 miles out. But we also know how to put equipment on trailers and haul it to the location. We bailed in Texas, Oklahoma, Colorado, Kansas, Nebraska. We're working in that direction. So it takes a lot of good customers, takes a lot of good people. And ultimately, it takes a lot of luck sometimes, too, to make it all work. But yeah, that's kind of our circle. We touch all the states. We got guys spreading manure today in Colorado and grinding hay here today and getting sprinklers going. It's a busy time of the year.
Again, appreciate you taking the time to speak with me today. When did you know that this is something that you wanted to do, make a career out of? Even was it before you went to college, or was it while you were at college that you figured out, hey, this is something I want to do full time?
I probably realized in college I had an opportunity. What it looks like today isn't what I thought it was going to be then, and ultimately at that time I didn't know what it was going to look like regardless. I'm kind of a guy that likes to push the envelope and see how far we can go. And we've had good people help us do it. We've got great employees. They understand what our tasks are, show up every day with a smile on their face. And it's been a lot of fun. We've had a lot of good luck to make it work. You know, people showing up every day makes a big difference too. What else did you ask there?
How you decided that this was what you wanted to do?
Yeah. So what we had is I had some influence from outside of the area kind of tell me, hey, this is an opportunity that you kind of have. And here's what it looks like. You know, I grew up baling hay on our family's farm, and we were always busy, you know, baling on other people's farms and realized that the family didn't want to pursue that, go that route, whatever. We filled that void, and we took it and ran with it. And ultimately, that's kind of when I realized that, hey, we can have fun doing this, but ultimately provide a life and make money to support our family.
And you mentioned that you employ Hamilton County out here. What are some of the labor challenges that you face, and how do you overcome those? Because I know, talk to producers everywhere across the state, but especially as you get further west, labor is a huge issue. So how do you deal with those? Make sure that you have the employees needed to carry out your work.
Yeah, that's labor is super tough. We also do the H2A program. We've had extremely good luck with that. And I say it may be employing Hamilton County. We are an operation that is Hamilton County money. We've had a lot of influence from the outside of the area come in and begin businesses or operate. We benefit from some of those businesses that we work with, but it's really neat. A lot of the hay trucks that come into our facility are, you know, farmers that have trucks and, you know, pull our trailers, et cetera. So it's kind of a joint effort to make a good part of our business work. We do the H2A South Africans. We bring them over. They They come in March and they stay till December. Some guys will stay the winter. They'll rotate around. They're kind of our farm guys. But then they help out, you know, baling hay, that whole process.
And these are typically the same people coming back year after year then?
Yeah, we've been very fortunate. We've kind of got ahead of the curve, got some people that have been here before. That sure takes a lot of headache out of initiation. Getting people trained, keeping people trained, and getting them come back is ultimately a struggle, but we have great pride in that. Five of the guys that are coming this year from South Africa, or three of them are returning, and one guy has been off and on for a while. So it's really good. We're going to have a really strong backbone on the farm side this year.
And for the folks listening or watching here who don't know a whole lot about the H-2A program, can you just kind of go into a little bit about what you have to do in order to find that help, bring it over here, and even while they're here, what the requirements are of you to have those laborers here?
So we utilize an agency out of Tennessee. Golden Opportunities is our agency. They do an incredible job. They handle most of the book work for us. We provide the rest of it. We do have to provide housing for our employees on the H-2A program. So there are challenges with that, but also that's you know, part of growing your business and learning what you need to have. So we utilize that in a way. You know, you got to provide vehicles for them to get to and from work, to and from, you know, wherever they may have to go. So there's a lot of give and take with that program, but ultimately it's been good for us. Year six of it, lots of hoops, lots of hurdles to jump through. Still are learning, don't know everything, and I guess that's what kind of keeps us on our toes, is trying to find out what's next to have to work through.
Switching gears a little bit here, I know last year at the YF&R conference, you won the YF&R of the Year competition and then got to compete at this year's AFBF competition in that same category. What was that experience like? And I guess, how invasive was that application process?
The application process was very in-depth, was very real. My wife helped me out significantly with it, and she did an awesome job with it, actually. It was a good reminder how far we've came, what kind of hickeys we had to take to get to where we are, what's ahead of us. It was, you know, kind of requires some future planning, but ultimately, you know, it was, felt like a 30, 40 page document we filled out. And by the end of it, we were completely open. And it was a good reminder though, you know, takes a lot of hard work to get to where you are. And there's several people that's filled that application out. And, you know, it was great to go to San Antonio and have the support of Kansas and, you know, I guess be the face for Kansas at that time. You know, we walked into the room, you get to see all the people that are there from all the other states and learn about what they're doing and, you know, how they're doing it. And, oh, this guy has so many acres or this guy has so many employees. You're like, uh-oh, you know, what does that look like? And, but ultimately, it was great. Several people on that are very good operators, and it's fun to learn about how they do things and also open up some doors to, you know, understand that not everything has to look like this. And we can do things a little differently to figure out what we need to do. So pretty eye-opening, really good experience.
Did that process change anything on, I guess, on the business side for you about how you look at things? I know sometimes digging in like that, you realize maybe you have a leak here or there's an opportunity there. Anything like that pop up for you when you dug in and filled out that application, and then even going to compete and hearing some of the stories from other folks there in San Antonio?
Yeah, so everybody's bottleneck seems to be bookkeeping. And it was good to listen to that and understand that, hey, these guys have those problems too or whatever. But no, it was a good reminder to look at the, you know, it gets really in-depth about the financials and, you know, how much growth did you have from year to year and what that looks like and what it took to get there. Because, you know, one year, you know, crops and commodities may be terrible, but you had a good operating year on the farm or on the hay baling side of things. Or market swings were real big and kind of how we were able to get our start that enabled us to kind of propel forward and do what we do today. But it was kind of a good reminder, hey, this is, you know, kind of your weakness was bookkeeping, and I don't know if we turn it into a strength yet because that's always evolving, but that's kind of, you know, kind of the one I'd point the finger to.
Labor and accountants, the two biggest challenges in any business, right?
Yeah, of course. And, you know, and several people utilize the H-2A program in that deal, and several states got to visit with. They were doing the H-2A program also, but everybody had that bottleneck.
Yeah.
So
I know you're very involved in Kansas Farm Bureau, have been involved at the YF&R level or for multiple events there, and even have presented there. Outside of Farm Bureau, what other activities keep you busy when you're not on the farm?
Didn't realize that we spent so much time on the farm. You know, we do have my wife and I have a son, Walter, and he's a blast. I didn't realize being a dad would be so fun, but it's the greatest. It's incredible. You know, my wife serves on the library board. They just recently, you know, had a new addition to the library. Goes back to being community-minded and trying to grow Main Street. That's a big deal we have is, you know, we want to buy local. We want to spend our money local, and we want to see local grow. But super involved with 4-H, try to be hands-on there. Gets real busy during that time of the year. Been on the extension board. Also been on the museum board at times. So yeah, always evolving, and, you know, you don't, being in a small community, you don't get off those boards. So you just kind of get moved around, I think.
Lifetime appointment, right? You're on a board. We just don't know which one.
Yeah, bingo. This is your card. You're going to stick to it for a while. Yeah. Yeah, that's how that one goes, it feels like.
Given that there's no ideal, I guess, year in farming, what does a typical, you mentioned this is the busy time. What are you really gearing up for here in the next 3 months? And then what does the rest of the year look like for you following?
Our business is changing. Used to be predominantly a hay baling operation, and then we grew into our own crop farm. And then now we added another facet to it, was a hay grinding operation. So we may be coming off the fast time, but then we're shifting gears and putting on our ball cap to go farming. So right now we got guys out in the fields. We're prepping ground, planting some seeds to get some spring forage. Ultimately getting sprinklers going underground, working out all the kinks. I didn't realize we had so many ghosts in our sprinklers until the first week of warm weather, and you feel like you're behind. And so we're sorting through all that right now. We are waiting on some of our farm help to show up. So a lot of guys are wearing several different ball caps right now, and I think everybody's kind of ready for the rat race to stop. But we go through and work on all of our equipment. That's be coming here in the next few weeks, getting ready for spring wheat hay run. We send balers to Oklahoma and Texas to do operations there. And then we also get ready to prepare to bale our own alfalfa.
And when you're baling down in Oklahoma, Texas, are you shipping that hay back here, or are you going to contract that locally out to people there?
It ebbs and flows. Some years it comes back up the river, some years it goes south. We have lots of good customers. I mentioned earlier, we ship kind of, you know, 250 miles all around us. So we always know we can get our tire changed somewhere if we got a flat tire. Ball jacket feels like. But yeah, a lot of that will go locally or on further south.
And your primary customers are feedlots, dairies, any, I guess, cow-calf guys that you're working with, or is it primarily more of those dairies and feedlot folks?
Yeah, we sell to anybody that we can work with. We do have some good ranchers that we work with. We put up some round bales to accommodate their needs and do stuff like that. A lot of our dairies, a lot of our feed yards take higher quality hays, and even sometimes are lesser quality, depending on what kind of ration they need for us to fill. So we're not a one size fit all. We'll do kind of whatever we need to do to satisfy customer and hopefully, you know, keep them a customer ultimately.
How do you weather the ups and downs of agriculture, whether it's the weather, markets, politics these days? How do you roll with the punches to keep going?
Well, at the end of the day, we look at it, and as long as this deal provides for us, then it's a job. We believe in farming as a lifestyle. We would agree with that. We are blessed by what farming has allowed us to do as individuals and as a family. But at the end of the day, it's a job. And so we got to be able to shut that off and go home and be parents or be spouses or whatever that is for us and for our employees. Learned probably 2 years ago, it's not that serious. Usually when you come to a crossroad or a bottleneck, you know, the old me would get really stressed out and think, man, this is going to be a tough row to hoe. And sometimes it is, don't get me wrong. But at the end of the day, you know, I can only control what I can control. My guys can only control what they can control. And we've had a lot of good financial support. You know, we've gone through the ups and downs with that. So, yeah, you know, politics, weather, had our fair share of hailstorms. Politics right now, I'm not sure what that is, that actually means to ag right now. So every day is different, and I guess that's what keeps us going.
I've got to ask, what happened 2 years ago that was that crossroads?
You know, we were at a point, and ultimately it was probably maybe 3 or 4 years ago when we went to Kansas Farm Bureau was super good for me. Was kind of looking for a place, you know, hey, we're on the farm, we've got good neighbors, we're in a spot where, you know, we're growing. It's not the typical growth. It doesn't look right from 40,000 feet above or 70 mile an hour when you drive by. Going on the YF&R committee was probably the best thing for me. Was able to learn a lot about myself and what it meant to be me and be on the committee. And ultimately, at that time, we were trying to decide if we were going to continue farming and decide if this is what we want to do. And is this something that's, you know, worth pursuing? And that's kind of where I, you know, went to Farm Bureau, Kansas Farm Bureau at YF&R, and realized, you know, when I went on committee that, it, you know, it's not that serious. You know, we laughed ourselves a little bit and relaxed a little bit. And ultimately, it probably gave me a sense of community I didn't know was there.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing you mentioned is figuring out what you can control, because sometimes we want to try to control things that are out of our control, and that's the biggest hurdle, right? I know you've also had the opportunity to travel, see some other ag operations as well. How valuable is that to you? Farming's different whether you go 100 miles from here or 1,000 miles. I guess, how valuable is it as a producer to see what other operations are doing, to learn from them? And some of that stuff you can't bring home, but it's a different way of thinking about things.
Yeah, of course, it gives you an opportunity to see it through a different lens. You know, hey, at the end of the day, this operation's got this and that. You know, what's it look like on my farm? How can I make my deal better? You know, and it's always, you know, you listen to producers and they'll tell you, you know, what's going on, and you can decide if you want to learn or if you want to build off what they're doing, and can also decide not to listen. So it's ultimately, you know, when we do go get the opportunity to visit those farms through Kansas Farm Bureau or American Farm Bureau, however much you want to put into is what you're going to get out of it.
Outside of, I think we talked about bookkeeping, we've talked about labor. Outside of those two issues, what are the biggest constraints for you right now in agriculture, or, I mean, even in your personal life, or just agriculture?
Ooh, sit down, Greg. No, all good. I would say, you know, the labor deal, labor is a serious issue. I think we turn it into our strength in our farm. Because we are so diverse, we've got many, many people from different walks of life. You know, weather, obviously we can't control the weather. We are an operation that benefits from a drought. We're also an operation that benefits from good rainfall. So depends on what hat we're wearing that day, it's good for business. And I think ultimately being diversified's kind of mitigated that risk. I'm pretty sure every day there's going to be something that goes wrong. We just get to decide how we want to react to it and how we want to let it influence what we do.
Excellent point. Looking back 5 years, you already said that you didn't quite know that you were where you were going to end up, and you're here. If you had to look 5 years into the future, what does that look like?
I think more of the same. Hopefully good, healthy growth. Probably need to put a cap on it at some point and find our way and operate and see what that actually is. I think agriculture right now is in a world of opportunity. It doesn't look like it, doesn't meet the surface. Every day it's a struggle, but there's new faces coming in, old faces going out. So it's just, you know, kind of be on the side of being optimistic and seeing what makes sense for us. So yeah, I think agriculture looks good for our part of the world in the future.
What advice would you have for somebody just starting out, maybe in a similar position to you? They're looking at high interest rates, the land prices have stayed elevated, surprisingly, despite the interest rates going up, equipment's going up. I guess if you had to do it over and start from nothing today, what's your first move?
You don't say no. And you need to look at everything and measure the risk involved with it. But ultimately, you can't say no to things because you never know when the next opportunity is going to come. If I had to start over again, I don't know what that would look like. Some days it feels like you are starting over again. So I guess I do know what that looks like. But ultimately, you know, I think, like I mentioned, agriculture is in a really good spot. You know, hopefully the commodities can't go much further down. Equipment's high, interest is high. I think the opportunities out there, it looks different for everybody else of what they can and can't do. But don't be shy. I mean, there's people always looking for business. And probably what I would give myself advice was the people you want to do business with, hang around with them. You know, knock on their door, remind them that you're there, answer the phone, dial for the dollars. You know, you got to do it all. It doesn't just stop at 5. You know, it doesn't just begin at 6 a.m. either. So it looks different for everybody, but I think that kind of goes back. I think agriculture is in a good spot. It's very difficult to get started, but don't be shy and can't always say no either.
Anything I haven't asked that we should cover today?
You know, you mentioned the, you said weather and you said labor, or you said labor and you said...
The accountants.
The accountants, the bookkeeping, the bottlenecks. The equipment's starting to become a bottleneck.
Yeah.
You know, everything we touch has a motor, it feels like. And it takes a lot of dollars to operate that every day. You know, we've kind of took the reserve on things. We've gone with older equipment. It works for us. We can work on it. We know people who can work on it. But each business looks different. Sometimes the newer equipment makes the most sense, you know, depending on what your accountant does say.
Right.
So, and that kind of goes back to, you know, if you were to start over again, what it would look like. You don't have to keep up the Jones. You know, you keep up with what you can keep up with, what you can manage and what you can operate. Machinery nowadays are becoming the main issue.
I'm glad you brought that up. That's an interesting point. I was just having a discussion with somebody who is outside the industry last week about, they had talked to a farmer who said, well, you know, farming's getting to be no fun anymore. All it is just you're trying to keep up with the equipment payments and the equipment's doing most of the farming for you now. So how do you make those decisions to go with older machines, stuff that you can work on? I know that's a big point for a lot of folk. And we've seen that in the used equipment market too. Those prices are sometimes almost more than what those tractors and implements were new. They've held the value incredibly well. So how do you make those decisions?
For us, we are one of those classes that did begin. We still have some of the equipment we started with the first day. And that went to having a good connection when we first started, being able to get the equipment that we did. You know, we always upgrade balers every 2 years. Those are high use items you must, swathers, et cetera. But on our farm, we use the same tractors that will bale all summer long and all fall, get unhooked, and they get hooked up to manure spreaders. So we've been able to use that same power unit, you know, for what was set in a guy's shop typically, you know, 6 months of the year. We run it 10, 12 months of the year. They charge interest on Sundays, it seems like. So we keep, you know, equipment does have lights on them.
Yeah.
Probably we run them hard. Our people run hard. And we're proud of that because we can utilize our equipment in different ways that may not be the typical way to do it.
Are you servicing most of those tractors yourselves then, or do you take them to a repair shop, independent dealer?
Yeah, that goes back to every day there's something wrong. our welder fabricator, he's on speed dial, it feels like. Our grinder guy, he's on speed dial. We do have a couple guys that come around, service our equipment. We did hire a full-time luber. He'll begin here in another month or so. We're going to go that route, try to see if we can mitigate that outside cost, keep everything inside. But yeah, you know, oil changes, everything that's on us. We do most of our own stuff. Some of the bigger stuff, you know, our grinders, you know, our bigger motors, we will have to hire that out. But that also comes with warranties at time too, so that makes that decision easy. But ultimately, yeah, our bottleneck, aside from bookkeeping, is probably the maintenance on the equipment. You know, grease and tires are big deals. So anything that consumes diesel around our place sure likes to break down. So
I mean, equipment, obviously a big issue, but I would imagine with the expansion that you've had in a short amount of time, the relationship with your banker has been very important as well. Just another one of those relationships where you pick up the phone and make those connections. Don't say no.
Yeah, don't say no. And thankfully, our bank didn't say no to us. And that goes back to where we were going on the YF&R committee, and are we going to continue farming? And what's this look like? We met a local group, you know, nearby that pulled us up by our bootstrap and taught us how to operate. You know, and we believe in banking local, and we also believe in investing back into that local bank, and we want that opportunity to be given to other people that it was to us. But yes, you know, bankers also on speed dial, that's for sure. They've had a don't say no attitude also, and it takes lots of parties. We have great customers. We have great landlords. We get to work with some of the best people around. So yeah, we believe in mutually benefited relationships, and ultimately that's kind of got us to where we are today.
You were on the YF&R committee. What was that experience like? It sounds like it was pivotal in you still farming today.
Yeah, I was able to, you know, there's 10 districts represented in Kansas, and so we represented the Southwest District 9.
Yeah.
Yep, District 9. You get to meet all kinds of walks of life. You know, some operators are young farmers, some operators are young ranchers. That was a good way for me to understand everything looks different, and success looks different. also gave me a good sense of community. Farm Bureau kind of opened up the door to lots of opportunities for me and also the people that were in YF&R. Every year, the opportunities get better and better. I was influenced by a local gal here in town. She was our county coordinator. Now she's on her board. She's significant in how we do things in our county. And it goes back to that don't say no type of deal. You know, she heavily influenced me to go on the committee. And ultimately, it's been probably one of the most fun things that I've done.
You will continue traveling here this weekend. You're heading to Washington, D.C. What is that trip for? And what are you going to be doing there in the nation's capital?
I was able to go on to the National YF&R Committee. We'll travel to D.C. this week to do a new committee orientation. So there's seven people that will go on this year's committee. There's seven people or seven groups from last year. So there are 14 total that represents the AFBF National YF&R Committee. So we'll do that. That'll be my first time in D.C. So kind of looking forward to the sights. But looks like it's jam-packed with trainings, speech trainings on camera. Things like that, et cetera. And then also be good to see what Farm Bureau is in the capital, see what the influence that American Farm Bureau has, and also learn kind of what the next two-year commitment for myself looks like.
Sounds like an exciting time and still continuing to grow in Farm Bureau here. How do you make the time for a commitment like that when you do have an operation here, a growing operation here, son, wife? I know it takes a lot of effort.
Yeah, you know, that was one of the big things they asked me in my interview was, how are you going to keep this going and what's that look like for you? And ultimately, we've got some good staff that can take care of some of the bookwork, the paperwork trail behind all this. Good farmhands, good guys. Everybody knows their task. And they do a great job. We've got really good leadership throughout it. So that frees that side of the thing up. And then my wife is very supportive. She thinks this is a great opportunity. I've grown as an individual, so I think she knows how much it means to me to be able to kind of continue this professional development.
Scott, thank you for the time today.
Thanks, Greg.
If you've enjoyed the podcast, please give it a like and share with others. I'm Greg Deering, and this has been Inside Ag from Kansas Farm Bureau, the voice of agriculture.